We're back. You're listening to Money Talks, Atlanta's longest-running, most-respected money show on the radio. I'm Troy Harmon here today with Shauna Theriault. Did I get that right?
You did.
Man, I nailed it.
Awesome. Totally.
Yeah.
You've only known me for over 6 years. Finally,
yeah,
you know how to say
finally.
My name.
Hey, man, when you grow up in the sticks, that's kind of what happens. You learn to talk last. I was chopping wood before I could talk. How about that? Anyway, here
sounds
also
like child with, labor laws to me.
No, it didn't get paid anything, so it's not a job.
So you couldn't contribute to an IRA.
I got to warm by the fire. All right, here with Jennifer Thomas as well, two CFPs telling us all the brilliance of financial planning. Thank you both. I was almost to say guys, and we've talked about lady stuff.
That's
and
right.
You might get offended at that.
I might.
All right, so I didn't say it just for the record,
that's
so you
good.
Know. But before we get into to all of that, let's throw out how you can get in touch with us to ask your own questions. We have a question hotline. The number is 1-855-429-9166. You can call that number, leave your question recorded, and then we would play it on the air and answer the question behind it. If you want to talk to a person, you can call 770-429-9166. You can also email us at drgene@hensler.com. That's spelled H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R.com. You can go to our website, again, H-E-N-S-S-L-E-R, and find multiple ways just to get in touch with us. So we've got questions this week. We'll start off with this one from Robin from Woodstock. She says, how do I generate earned income for my one-year-old child so that I can legally contribute to an IRA for them? So first of all, is it even reasonable to contribute to an IRA for your children and 1 year old?
Well, you can contribute to an IRA for your children if they have earned income. Now, a one-year-old, it's going to be very difficult for them to have earned income. The only way that I can think of is if they're a baby model.
Right, yeah. So if you had a business and,
yes,
and you hired them as
uh-huh.
some part of an advertisement,
yes,
or something.
Or if they were actually a baby model with some
somebody else,
magazine,
yeah,
or whatever,
sure,
and they got a W-2, they have to have legitimate work and they have to be paid a reasonable wage, especially if you're paying them yourself. So if you're doing that, and it needs to be tracked, you can't pay, like if they're 10 years old and they're sweeping the floors of your office, you can't pay them $1,000 an hour to do this. You know, it has to be a reasonable wage for the work that they're doing.
But model, it seems like you probably could do.
Right.
You get more money.
Yes.
In.
Yeah. But a one-year-old, you know, that's a little difficult. And it's going to pop out at the IRS if your child is one and they're earning something.
Right.
That's going to be something
for them to
look at.
You have to report that income,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you want to be, I mean, it's a great tool to use for your children and to begin, you know, helping them save for their retirement at a very young age. We all know the compounding effect of having the money invested.
Sure.
So that's a great thing, but, you know, again, it does have to be reasonable and it has to be appropriate for their age, you know,
sure,
what they're doing. You know, they ask about an IRA. My opinion is I would do a Roth.
Absolutely.
You know.
So it's going to grow.
It's going to grow tax.
You pay tax. You pay,
yeah,
tax on the.
The on
the
earnings,
initially.
But you have to think about they're most likely in the 0% tax,
sure,
bracket,
yeah,
so they don't have really any tax on that money anyway. Then it's going to grow tax deferred, and they're not taxed on it when it comes out.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win if you know if they put it in a Roth.
Right. Absolutely. So, there's your answer. Yes. But be careful.
It depends.
Well, yes, since it's a tax,
yeah,
question, answer is it depends.
Shauna is a CPA. She's the only one certified to say it depends. If you want the same answer, you can ask your attorney, and that's probably what they'll tell you, too. All right, we've got a question from Alan Milley from Duluth. Says, our son has really enjoyed IMAX movies this summer. We were wondering if this is a stock we should buy for him. We try to get him involved as much as a 10-year-old can be. When we invest his college funds, we know he's getting a real kick out of owning shares of IMAX. Or we know he would get a real kick out of owning shares of IMAX. I'm glad to hear that you haven't done it yet, because I want to talk a little bit about the fundamentals, and then I think there's probably some questions here to discuss about the financial planning side of it. But anytime you can talk to your children about a company, investments, just as Jennifer was saying earlier, the compounding effect, the earlier you start, much better off you are. But when it comes to IMAX, you know, the company started out as kind of supplying these cool movie formats and the software behind it, creating the movie itself and the place in which it's viewed for science. You know, so if you go to the I want to say the zoo. I know that's not right.
Not
the zoo. It's not the zoo, the museum.
The museum.
You go to the museum or a planetarium. I've seen them there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can see these movies, but now they're starting to get Hollywood involved in it. It's really cool to see the 3D effects that they can have in the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
So that is their growth space. In fact, they're looking to grow. I think they just made a deal not long ago for 4 IMAX cinemas in Russia. So they're moving outside the United States, and that's really more where their growth is. You look at the company, expected to grow by 18% over the next 3 to 5 years, so the trend should be around there. But if you look at what they've done over the last 5 years, the actual history, it's only been 2.73. Anytime analysts call for a huge change from, you know, slow growth to a much faster growing, I tend to be a skeptic. If you look at the profitability of the company, EVA spread, something I like to look at, it's return on invested capital minus the cash, the cost of the cash in order to run their operation. It's negative in this case, negative 7.86. Makes me generally not a fan, not the best profitability, a little skeptical on the growth side. And you look at the valuation, 1.7 for a PEG, the PEG ratio. PEG, in case you're wondering, is the forward price to earnings ratio. Mm-hmm. So the way we get that is current price divided by the projected earnings over the next year, divided by the expected growth rate in earnings. So anytime it's above a 1, we look at it as a little bit pricey. Right now, it's hard to find any stock that's priced around that 1 for a PEG. Very low on the debt, so it's, you know, not too bad there. But all things considered, I'm just not a huge fan. It doesn't meet the Hensler financial criteria for investment based on financial strength and safety. But you could walk through that whole process with a child and tell them, you know, this is a cool thing to go see. The point is everything that's cool to go watch a good investment? And the answer is absolutely not. But trying to teach them as much as they'll pay attention, because I got 2 kids and I'm a geek when it comes to finance and stocks, and it's very hard for me to get them to sit still. In fact, I've had them listen to this very radio show and I ask them, so what'd you think? My oldest daughter said one word. Boring. Anyway.
But I take offense to that.
Yeah,
are you kidding me? My girls
me
come
too.
To the office, Mom, you're so lucky. You get free sodas all day long. I'm like, I don't even drink soda.
Yeah. When my kids come, I got a television in my office so I can watch CNBC. They say, man, that's lucky. You get to watch TV all day.
That's all you do, Troy.
Yeah, there's not much SpongeBob going on in my office. I would appreciate watching SpongeBob, but, you know, it's not really tied to the job. So let's talk about something else. They bring up a good point. They say that they want to invest this stock in their
portfolio
funds.
For college.
Yeah, their funds for college. And I'm not so sure that that's the best way to do this. Do you guys have an opinion on really what we should do there?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things. One, the child is 10 years old, so he's within 10 years of going to school or, you know, college. And, you know, we have our 10-year rule, which is any money that you're going to need in the next 10 years should be in fixed income investments.
Right.
Any money that you're not going to need in the next 10 years should be in growth investments. So we know that he's going to need at least 2 years of college money in the next 10 years. Now, the 10-year rule is our core, you know, philosophy.
Right.
And especially for retirement, we, you know, hold that very strict rule. You know, with college, you can be somewhat flexible. If you're willing, if the market's down, people tend to be more aggressive with the college money because if they may be able to pay, if the market's down, they can pay the difference out of cash flow, or they can pay it out of cash flow and get the money, you know, out of the investments later after they've recovered. The child could borrow the money for college and then use that, you know, later on. So there's some different, you can't right. borrow for retirement, but you can certainly borrow for college. So
that's the big difference
yes,
right there. Yes.
yes.
The fact
so,
that you can borrow and the money's readily available for
right.
college.
Uh-huh. So you want to, you know, that's something to take a look at. I mean, the other thing, it doesn't say how much they were planning on investing in this. I mean, obviously, I think if they wanted to try to get the child interested and they wanted to buy, you know, a couple of shares, I have no problem with that.
Sure, yeah.
But if they're talking about investing in that stock and that's going to be the majority of the investments or a large portion of that,
yeah.
we never want you to see you own, you know, more than 10% in one company, preferably not more than 5% in one company.
Right.
But if it's not something that we would recommend investing in, but I understand sometimes you want to see things that they like.
Sure, absolutely. All right, we've got another question we just as well dive on into. We've got Leon from Smyrna says, I have a college graduate sitting on my couch. Is this normal for today's generation? He moves on to say, my daughter's 24, sent her to a good school, has a poli-sci degree. She's working for a very tiny law firm, but she's not yet a paralegal, and they're paying her peanuts. Well, you gotta be upwardly mobile, right? It's good they have a goal, it sounds like. I get that she wants to go to grad school because her friends are doing it. However, I look at myself, and at 22, I was a co-op at a firm working my way through my senior year at college. I busted my butt to be the co-op the firm hired full-time upon graduation. I never moved back home. I got an apartment with a friend, and we batched it, I guess. We're bachelors until we got married at 26 again. Is this normal for today's generation? Jennifer, you probably have more experience with the
generation.
Graduate kids.
We love the millennial generation. I have three millennials.
There you go.
I would say that it is probably more normal for today's generation. The millennial generation does tend to not move out of their parents' house and get out on their own as quickly as some of the generations in the past.
Right.
Now, in my case, I have a 25-year-old daughter who has been on her own since she went to college. She recently bought her first home. So she's a little bit different. I have a 23-year-old son who also has his own place. He doesn't own it, but he rents his own place, has a roommate, and has been out for a couple of years. So, and I have a 20-year-old daughter who is in school but still lives at home. So,
right.
I mean, I've got a little bit of both. But, I do think it is more prevalent these days. I think this generation, there's a lot of different aspects to them. They think differently. We being the baby boomers and the Generation X, I mean, we were the kind of the go-getters. You got a job, you had to work as hard as you can and accomplish everything that you needed to accomplish and get there. You know, we were in such a hurry to get there. And I think that this generation is more into social services and, you know, traveling and looking at things and, you know.
Yeah, experiences over the
experiences.
Owning assets.
Yeah,
and, you know,
I mean, it's just a different thing. You have to understand, we had encyclopedias, and you know what, if you wanted to know something, what did your parents say? Go look it up in the encyclopedia. these children have never seen an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
And you know, we even learned that in this workforce, we have millennials that work for us, and you know, we're used to just go figure it out. Well, you know, they want to be educated on how to go and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's a little
right.
It is a challenge for this generation, but no, I think that is perfectly normal for
what's
that
happening.
Generation.
Well, and you've seen the statistics on the loan debts that they have from
yes.
school as well. So, I mean, they get out of school and they have all these huge loans, and the payment on it's almost a house payment. So it's making it challenging for them to find places to live and afford to live.
Yeah, well, you mentioned a loan. Let's talk about college. If you look at the statistics in 1975, one-fourth of young adults had a college degree.
Less than one-fourth. Yes.
And today, more than one-third hold a college degree. So it's not shouldn't be surprising that the generation has more college debt because more of them have gone.
And college has gone up, extremely in price. And so you're talking about a huge amount of debt for a lot of kids.
Yep.
And they're trapped under that debt. They can't, he doesn't say whether or not, his daughter has college debt, but if she does, that's an added burden on top of just the normal cost of living.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're talking about women, it seems that less than half of the workforce was comprised of women back in 75.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now there's a lot more women that are actively working, getting educations. So that's another one of those major shifts in demographic.
Right.
And I know folks hate to be, especially the millennials. We have some that work with me directly, and I mess with them all the time. Tell them if they don't start acting right, I'm going to take away their beard and their Jeep, and they'd never be a millennial again. Anyway, the thing that occurs to me, though, is a lot of folks don't want to sit around, and you can't really paint with that broad brush. But when you look at the statistics, the younger set today, the new entries into our workforce are definitely different than previous generations.
Well, even think about when you were first out of school or, just starting out in your, adulthood, there wasn't a heck of a lot to do.
Right.
I mean, you look at all of the activities and the sporting events and the restaurants and the all of that. I mean, it was like a huge thing for us to
go to dinner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And I mean, they have things planned all the time, and all of that costs money.
Yeah. Right.
And not to say that that's, it's a good and a bad thing. Right. They have to earn more to be able to do all those things. And that they want to do.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember when I was young, it's been a long time, but I remember, the best electronics I had was a pager. Remember the pager days, Jennifer?
Yes.
Best thing you could get. Anyway.
I remembered, only doctors had pagers, only the important people had pagers, so you must have been really important.
No, I made my husband get a pager when I was pregnant with Jessie, my oldest daughter, but so that if he was at work, I could get in touch with him. Yeah. Or if he was not, at home, I could page him.
Technology has moved quite quickly.
It's crazy.
Quite quickly. And you mentioned I'd never even thought about that. When I was 22 or 3, I remember saving money to buy a set of encyclopedias, and I never did it. And I can't remember why, but man,
aren't you glad
I didn't waste that money? The fact that you had to save money in order to buy.
I bet you they'd be worth money now, though, because they're
you can't give
ancient.
Them away.
No, you can't.
You can't. No, because think about the internet. You can go and find the absolutely most incorrect answer on everything you wanted to right on the internet.
Yeah, but it's almost like a historical.
They're
worth
paperweights.
Money, right?
Yeah, well,
they're
maybe.
Huge paperweights.
Yeah, food for the silverfish in your basement, probably more so. But the thing of it is, it really has. We've changed a load in the last few years, and technology has been a wonderful thing. But at the same time, it makes us all think about things differently. And when you talk about investments, many of the folks that are millennials today, the generation we're talking about, came of age during 2007, 2008, watched the stock market. It's really difficult sometimes to have those conversations about getting them to take the amount of risk that's really reasonable for their young age and the time horizon they have for investment. So anyway, guys, yeah, we do love millennials. Maybe we don't understand them fully. And we know that they should not all be painted with the same brush. But anyway, so here we go, guys. Coming down to the wire, we always ask the same question. Jennifer, market up or down?
Up.
Absolutely. Okay, Shauna, this is your time to shine.
Flat.
Oh, my.
Just because he was
it's review time. I'm trying to make him happy.
Oh, my. You know me. I'm a broken record. Always the market up. Statistically, it's going to be up. Money talks. Take care.
A
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.